All right. Next Sunday is Fight Hunger, and I'm going to be there. So I want to know who in this section is going to be here next week, okay? Come on now. Come on, this section. All right. Over here. Come on, let's do this. You know what? Here's the dumb thing about church, all right? Let me just tell you. Like, you go, well, God, what? Why would I want to go to church? One, football is on, right? And I'm going to be here Sunday afternoon. What am I going to be doing? I'm going to be packing up food. Church people can make anything fun. They're just the weirdest people. Like, they can find fun in anything. So we're all going to be here. We're all going to be giggling and laughing and having a good time. 1:30 next week. And I didn't even mention the best part, right? We're making a difference, people. We're making a difference. This is why we exist. People think that we exist to tell them what they're doing wrong. The reason why we exist is to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And over and over, he feeds people. And so that's what we do. And we're going to have fun. We're going to have joy doing it. Do I hear an amen? All right. And if you're not here, you're going to have so much FOMO. You're going to be missing out if you're not here. And we still love you, but that's okay. A little less, but we will still love you. All right. We are beginning a brand new series today, and I wanted to start it off with some theological thoughts. When was the last time you heard somebody complain about a flight? Has it been a little while? Okay, let me start. I got to fly to you guys, right? I don't live here. I have to fly to see you. And there was a moment in time when my son was going to be in the Bay Area, so I was going to fly to him, fly into San Francisco, spend a couple days with him, come down and see you. 2 days before that happened, he said, I can't make it. Well, I had booked my flight already. So I was flying to San Francisco for no reason at all. But I couldn't change it, so I decided to fly. So I flew on Frontier Airlines. And if it doesn't sound like I'm complaining, then you haven't flown Frontier. So Frontier boards us on time. So great. Happy. And they put me in the very last window seat. I'm in the very back window seat. And then they say, well, there's been a bit of a delay. So, okay, delay. And then 20 minutes later, there's been a bit of a delay. 20 minutes later, a bit of a delay. 20 minutes, bit of, there's been a bit of a 3 hours. 3 hours, I'm in the back window seat on a Frontier flight. People keep coming back saying, man, it's really hot back here. No kidding. It's really hot. And let me tell you the last best part of this. When you fly Frontier and you're on the last window seat, there is no window. It's just a wall. 3 hours, I'm looking at a wall. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, how many times do we complain about this amazing, terrific thing that we get to do? Fly through the air. Let me give you another one. Your cell phone. How much do we complain about that thing? And here's what it doesn't do much. Here's the only thing it can do. It can hold your calendar. It can hold all your pictures. It's a camera. It's a better camera than you ever had. Holds all your pictures. You can just show people at any time. It has a GPS on there, so you don't have to get lost anymore. It has the weather on there. I can tune my guitar from it. I can check decibel levels to see if Ricky is too loud on a Sunday morning. And to confirm, he is, okay? Bring earplugs. We're not changing. I mean, really, I can check my email. I can send out email. The amount of things that I can do on this device is amazing. And yet, how do I treat this device? Ugh, stupid phone, 20%. I just charged you. What's wrong with you? Siri, I said Kurt, not Clint. I don't want to call Clint. I want to call Kurt. I found myself having to mispronounce people's names so I can actually reach them. I have a friend named Chung. I have to call him Chewing. Call Chewing. Otherwise, I'm not getting him. And here's another thing that Siri, I don't know what Siri thinks of me. Because so many times, I use the talk to text thing, it's what old people do. and I used to talk to texting, and the amount of times that Siri thinks I am profane is ridiculous. And every once in a while, one of those things shoots out, and I can't talk about it. It's church. I can't tell you any of those stories. Everything is amazing. But are we happier? Are we happier? There are people here like me who've lived a lot of life. And has the cell phone made us happier? Has flight made us happy? Has having 10,000 television channels to choose from, has that made us happier? Is our youth happier or more anxious and stressed? You tell me. Let me give you a couple facts. This is just me. Over the course of your lifetime, you will continually be amazed at technology. The kinds of things that we will accomplish will be amazing to you. And you'll be continually amazed at how each of these advancements do not lead to lasting joy. And then thirdly, you will most likely sit on the sidelines and notice how each advancement pulls us farther from each other and farther from joy. Everything's amazing. No one's happy. We need to set a new goal for us. For the next month, we're going to be looking at the book of Philippians. The theme of the book of Philippians is joy. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, always, always be full of joy. Not a little bit of joy, right? Not like have joy every once in a while. Always, always be full of joy. I say it again, rejoice. That word joy, the Greek word joy is kairo. It means to rejoice, to be glad, to rejoice exceedingly. And I love these next two, to be well and thrive. If you think about it, joy really is an indicator of how much we are thriving. You don't have to be brilliant to figure that out, right? You look around, and the people that are joyful are thriving, and the ones that aren't joyful are struggling. This is a challenge from Scripture, and we have a book dedicated to help us get there. So that's where we're going to spend this month. So let's start like this. Why don't we just take a moment? We do this every once in a while. For some people, this might be the only time of silence that you get in your week. But we're just going to take a moment of silence and just say, God, would you speak to me? Maybe you want to talk to him and say, God, I am feeling this stress, or I'm feeling like technology is getting me, or I feel like I'm not thriving. I feel like I need to be full with joy. However you want to take it, you got your minute. Here we go. Oh God, we pray that you would meet us here. You said you would. You said if two or three or more are gathered, you'll be there. You're here. We're not always listening, but we know you're here. So I pray, God, that you'd open up my ears to hear from you. You'd open up my friends' ears, and we would hear what you are saying, that your spirit would be in this place. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to be looking at the book of Philippians. I want to give you a little background because it matters. Who you're going to listen to matters. You know, like if LeBron James writes a book on humility, you're probably not reading it, right? And if I was LeBron James, I would not be humble either. I would be just, you know, I would strut around as much as possible because that guy's amazing. But it matters. So Paul is the author of the book of Philippians. Let me give you a little background on him. Paul was when we first meet him, he's a Jewish Pharisee. And he is stuck in the old ways. He is one of those people that were cheering when Jesus died. I don't know if he was there, but he was absolutely in support of that side. And we have written out a story in which somebody was killed, was stoned to death. His name was Stephen, and Paul was there. Now, I don't know if he actually threw stones. My guess is that he did. But we know that he was there, and we know that he was approving of it. Now, God, as only God could do, looked at him and said, that person has potential. And nobody else would have thought that. And so he's walking down this road one day, and he goes completely blind, and God says, Paul. Saul, his name was Saul. God changed it to Paul. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he has this moment with Jesus. He's the only apostle that didn't see Jesus when he was alive, but he saw him afterwards. Well, 3 days later, he shows up, that like scales fall from his eyes and he can see. And God starts using him to make a difference. He's the very first missionary to ever go out into the world. And the kinds of things that he faced were horrific. Beatings and shipwrecks. This is the person who is writing a book to you and me about joy. Now, this is why I want to hear from him. If you're talking about joy, I don't want to hear from the guy whose dad died and left you a beach house, right? You know, I don't want to talk to the person that's always been a millionaire and everything's, I don't want to talk to you if you have a gold-plated Tesla, right? I could care less what you have to say about joy. But this guy, I can listen to because he knows. I'm sure if you've been around church, you've heard this. This is his resume. It's in a different book, 1 Corinthians. He says this, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes, beatings, 40 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 3 times. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. Been in danger. Rivers, bandits, fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. What was the last thing we were in danger? How does that feel? Constant danger. Stress, for sure. I have labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. If you've gone through that battle, that ain't a fun one. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. Too much to talk about in that. He's been through a lot. Let me just talk about one. Pelted with stones. Most guys in this room have been stupid enough to get caught in a rock fight. You know, when we're in junior high, we throw rocks at each other because our brains haven't developed yet. They still haven't. Look around the room. They're still working on it. I'm a guy. Like, I can say that. This isn't what he's talking about. It's not like guys throwing rocks at each other. It's talking about a group of people surrounding you with rocks big enough to kill you. And that's what they would do. That's what he went through. And these are the statements that he makes in Philippians. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. Philippians 2:17, I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. Philippians 4:1, I love you. I long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and my crown. He wrote that from prison, chained to a guard. That's where he's at. I wrote a letter that I would write from prison. Dear family, this place is terrible. I'm depressed, frustrated, and angry. The food's terrible. It smells. I'm bored. I feel stuck. And the TV's always set to Saved by the Bell. This is horrible. For us, everything's amazing and nobody's happy. For Paul, nothing is working out. And he has deep joy that's overflowing to other people. And that's what I long for. So let's figure it out. How do we get there? Well, in this first chapter, I want to give you three rumors about joy and happiness that we all tend to agree with. They're all completely wrong, but we tend to agree with them. Okay, we're going to start in verse 1. Paul and Timothy, he has a friend with him. How great is that? Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Basically, believers, Christian people, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that a lot. Grace and peace. It's something that he would assume that we would have as believer people. And the only thing I will say to you is that the closer you get to God, that's when those things show up. Right? The more you walk with him, the farther you walk with him, the more your grace and peace leaks. But I also say that if you don't have grace and peace, doesn't mean God doesn't love you and you know, you might be working through something. I get it. But this is what he wants for us. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now that's what he says. This is what we say. We say, I can't be happy unless I've got it all together. Unless all the pieces fit together, I cannot be happy. I want my life to be together. I want the pieces to fit. I want my family to be getting along. I want to be in a good marriage. Or I want to be dating somebody, and you can't be both. I want to have cool shoes. I want to be sleeping well. I want to be in a good place. I want to be rested. I want to be healthy. I want to be strong. I want to be in shape. If all those things happen. Well, I get it. I want those things too. What's the problem? They're never all together, right? There's always something broken. There's always something leaky somewhere. We always have a problem. There's always at least one part of your life that is out of order. And if everything has to be in order for you to feel joy, you never will. Okay, underline verse 6. It says, why is this such a problem? He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. What does that mean? Easy. You're incomplete. You are incomplete. You don't have it all together. Your relationships aren't all together. You're still figuring out how to communicate. I'm 62 years old. I still mess up my relationships all the time because I say something stupid. Last night with my wife, maybe, possibly, I don't know. Could have happened. You still have progress to be made in your career. There's still growing to be done in you. Interesting. Like, nobody wants that compliment. Hey, man, you've really grown. You've really grown. It feels so backhanded, right? It's like, you used to think you were an idiot, but now you've grown. Wow. So good. We hate it. But that's what we need. We need to realize we are incomplete. I find that there is a great freedom to how I live my life when I realize my own incompleteness, that I can share with you my own weakness and my authenticity, that more people want to be near me when I'm authentic and real. In fact, it's really funny as a speaker. You guys love the illustrations when I did something dumb. Those are your favorite. And why is that? It's because those are the people that we can connect with better, the people that are incomplete. That's why I fit so well here, because there are so many screw-ups at Covenant Grove that we were homies in this area. First thing he says, he'll be faithful to complete it, is that you are incomplete. And the second thing that the reason why he says it is because God is at work completing you. He's not given up on you. He is completing you. The more you walk with him, the more he will reveal things that need to be fixed for your benefit so that you'll thrive, so that you'll grow deeper in your faith. The person that gets everything and has the silver spoon never has to learn anything. The person person that battles and has difficulties thrown at them, you've got to grow. And when you go with Jesus, you grow in such a way that you become better. When you go without Jesus, you grow in such a way that you become bitter. That's just the fact. Okay, years ago, Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Bell Graham, was driving her car and got stuck in road construction. Don't you hate that? I lived in San Diego, and my son went to UCLA, and I used to have to drive to pick him up and bring him home. And I would always go at night, going, all right, great, no traffic. Nope, road construction. For like 3 consecutive years, there's road construction in Long Beach. So frustrating. So Ruth is battling this road construction, and then all of a sudden, one lane becomes 2 lanes. It all becomes clear, and she sees this sign, end of construction, thank you for your patience. And she has a brainstorm in that moment. And here it is. That is her tombstone. And at the bottom of it, it says, end of construction, thank you for your patience. Because as long as you are on this planet, you are under construction. You are incomplete. And God will continue to grow. It's an ugly rumor that you have to have it all together to find joy. Secondly, we believe this. I can't be happy unless all my circumstances are right. Not only do I have to have it all together, all the circumstances have to be right. And like I said before, those planets never align. We keep reading in Philippians. It says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Funny how that is, right? The difficult, the pain, all that, there's purpose to it. It advanced the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. Hey, look, I'm a missionary to prison. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. When I read those verses, here's my thought. There is not enough circumstantial evidence for Paul to be happy. There isn't. His circumstances do not lead to that. Have you ever been in that place where there's just not enough circumstantial evidence for you to be happy? Okay, let me ask you a quick question. Who's a mom? Okay? Not enough circumstantial evidence for you to be happy. I found this. I just got a kick out of it. This is a mom, all right? You're willing to kiss your child's boo-boo regardless of what body part it happens to be on. That's a mom. You have time to shave only one leg at a time. Do you remember that when they were little? You hide in the bathroom to be alone. Okay, honestly, who's done that? Who's done that? Yeah, look at this. Man, that's so great. Your kid throws up, you catch it. You get up at 5:30 a.m. and you have no time to eat, sleep, drink, or go to the bathroom, and yet you still manage to gain 10 pounds. Look, the circumstances never line up. They never line up. Things are good, your car breaks down. Things are good, your boyfriend breaks up with you. Things are good, that job gets crazy. Something happens with that kid. Your coach doesn't like you. You get a pimple. Your back goes out. Like, we got to figure out some way to find joy regardless of the circumstances. It's uncircumstantial. And we talk about this, and forgive me, I know I'm repeating myself. I haven't been here that long, I'm already repeating myself. But one of the reasons why we can find joy in this is because that thing that has hurt you the most becomes the ministry for you to help people around you the best. That's it. Nothing brings us together like shared suffering. That's a quote from Francine Rivers, the romance novelist. And it's so true. And here's what I want you to start thinking of. How is this difficulty that you are facing going to make a difference in the lives of the people around you? Because I swear, if you give this to God, the day will open up, the time will open up, the conversation will open up, where you'll say, I've been there. I get it. Let's walk through that together. And you talk about a moment of joy. And maybe here, I get it. Like I know, like when I sit down with certain people about different things, like, oh yeah, alcoholic father or pastors, you know, yeah, oh man, I get it. You know, when people aren't kind to you, right? People talk about it, I get it. So I sit down with people. What I'm trying to learn is that when I'm going through the difficulty, to realize that the other end of this will be that conversation with somebody. Right? And that brings, it helps me to know that God's not just mad at me. He's not just punishing me or making me suffer for no reason, but that there's a reason to it. Okay, one last rumor. I can't be happy unless I'm out of danger. Philippians 1:18, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Do you see that? Yikes. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I just want to take a second to help you understand what that means. Your ultimate hope is not that everything will work out together for you in this life, because something's going to get you. Your ultimate hope is that when you go, you spend eternity with Jesus. And what he tells us is our bodies put back right, and heaven is the earth put back right. That is our hope. Not just that you live a really long time, because I've seen those people's feet, right? That's what our ultimate hope is, that we're going to be with him. For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ. Gosh, do I hear an amen? For it is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. If God has got you alive, it's for a reason. You haven't outlived your usefulness. That thing that you are walking through, the pain that you're going through, will be used to help somebody make a difference in their life. I can guarantee you. But literally, he is battling life or death, and he is facing death. Let me tell you about these people. Have you ever heard the phrase, beaten to within an inch of your life? This is literally 2,000 years old, because when he was whipped 40 times minus one, because they thought that 40 would kill you and 39 wouldn't. I don't know what the science of that is for the Romans, but that happened to him 5 times. These are the people that he is now imprisoned by. Do you know the book of Mark? The author of the Gospel of Mark was dragged behind a chariot for 2 days by the Romans because they were unhappy with him. He literally is facing death every day. He's literally facing death. Yet he says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Through this, I will continue to rejoice. Wow. You know why everything's amazing and nobody's happy? Because we are looking to other things to find joy that will never work. Your car won't work. Your marriage won't work. I'm sorry. Your kids won't work. They're great. I mean, I love my kids like you wouldn't believe. I was here during Halloween and my 18-month-old dressed like a puppy. Oh my gosh, I miss that so much. But ultimately, those things aren't intended to give us the joy that we have. Your work won't do it. Your money won't do it. It is this relationship with Jesus that will do it. That's it. That's all we've got. We need to look to Jesus for our joy. Joy that can happen when your life is incomplete. Joy that isn't dependent on circumstances. Joy that even exists even if your life is threatened. You know, there are people who go to Covenant Grove whose life is threatened, you know, by disease. That's the kind of joy we're looking for this month. And so I've got 3 challenges for you. I just want to say this to you, folks. It's found in Jesus. That's it. That's what we got. And not only can we find joy in those difficulties, but he uses that difficulty to use us for our greatest purpose. That's pretty great. So here's three challenges. Okay? One, do a technology fast. Figure out a day, figure out a time period, maybe figure out, okay, past 7, I'm fasting technology. I'm not going to look at it anymore. I'm going to put my phone down. It's going to be in another room. It's going to be charging. Do a fast during meals. Everybody puts their phones here. Do a fast. Try to do it for a day. Figure out a day when you're just going to you're not going to check your email, because what it does to you is it's clamoring for you. It wants your attention all the time. And it can be a joy stealer. For me, I will tell you, don't email me at night. You can, I just don't care. Because don't you always get the email about the bill that's overdue at, 8:30? Like, why did I check this? Technology fast. Secondly, be on the lookout for something to be joyful about today. And you know when that muscle grows? That muscle grows when you're going through a difficult time and you find something to be joyful about. That's when the muscle really grows. That's graduate level joy. And then maybe do this. Write the end of the story. Maybe just take some time. Maybe you're not a journaler. That's okay. You want to take a walk with God and just go, okay, God, I can see that this thing that's happening to me, I am envisioning myself sitting across from a friend over coffee. And as we're talking, they share, yeah, I have a child that walked away from Jesus too. And I'm able to say, I get it. This is what I've done, but I just feel that, I feel that hurt just like you do. And in that moment, that person that walked in hopeless now walks out knowing they are not alone. And that difficult thing that you walked through has become purpose for you. So who wants joy? Joy not dependent on circumstance. Joy not dependent on danger. Joy independent of whether or not your spouse is grumpy. Who wants that? I do. So let's take a moment. Let's pray. I'm going to give you a chance to pray again. I don't know what it is that God's calling you to do or that difficulty that you're going through, but I maybe just deal with God right now. Just say, God, this is what I'm asking for. Help me to rejoice. Help my joy to be full. Help me it to overflow. Help it to be independent of what's going on around me. Lord God, I'm going to pray this for my friends. It's really hard to see. And I'm not going to go chapter and verse on the things in my life, but I know when it gets hard for me, sometimes it's hard for me to see that thing to be joyful about. I get it. But God, I pray that you keep our eyes open for how you're working, how you're working behind the scenes, how you're creating in us maturity and growth. And I pray, Lord Jesus, put them on the front row when they see, wow, that difficulty opened up this door. Okay, one last thing. I got to tell you, while every head is bowed, look, if you don't have this relationship with God, you could try all this stuff. It's great. It's wisdom. It's wisdom from God. You can try it. But the only thing that really makes it work is if you have this relationship with God where he gives you the power to do it. If you want to have that power, it begins like this. Just pray this. Dear God, I want to put you in charge. Dear God, I've tried to run my life myself and I have messed it up. Forgive me of the ways I've been doing it, the ways I've messed up. Forgive me. And you can say something like this. I heard in church that Jesus forgives us for all of our sins. Is that true? If that's true, forgive me of all of my sins. and give me the power and strength to become the person I'm supposed to be. If you pray that, that begins a brand new life for you, and I want to challenge you to do something bold. Find a pastor. Fill out a card that says, I said yes. It's right in front of you in your chair. Fill it out. Put it in the box that says, I said yes in the back. We want to help you on that journey. Lord God, I pray for my friends that you would help us to find joy. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, I got one more thing to say to you. And that's this. Did you feel God speaking to you today? Not Jack. Jack wasn't speaking to you, but you felt like God was speaking to you. If you felt like God was speaking to you, get somebody else here. Tell them about it. We're spending a whole month talking about joy in the book of Philippians. Let's see what God does in this church, right? There's an old story about a pastor goes up to this woman. Her name's Edith. Edith, do you feel the joy of the Lord today? And she looked and said, yes, I do, Pastor. And he said, well, I wish you'd tell your face. Let's not be those people. All right, guys, thanks.